Let's go ahead and read Ephesians chapter 1, 15 through 23. Last week we covered the main big blessings that God has given us, seven different ones. We looked at everything from redemption to forgiveness to God calling us, predestined us, God doing all these incredible things, these incredible blessings that God has given to us. And as I said last week, God has called us to realize that these are things we should rejoice in. These are things we should be praising God for. This week, I want to take a look particularly at verses 15 and 16 as we look at even further texts where all the time we see from Paul a person who is pouring out his life tremendously. But what we see about Paul is he's a person who is incredibly thankful for people. At the same time of his entire life being literally poured out, at one point he says, poured out like a drink offering. He pours his life out continuously, yet you find such gratitude and thankfulness in Paul in every letter that he writes. And so this is something for us to focus on. One, you are appreciated, and because you are appreciated by God, you can be filled with appreciation to others. And so I would say, as we talk about this sermon, this is one of those sermons you hope it fills your people. You hope that this is, if people get to know you as a person of our church, that they see from you an appreciated person who's of gratitude and is satisfied in life. With that said, let's go ahead and read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. It will be behind me. Here we go. It says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in all my prayers." It's an incredible verse, verse 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come." That's too powerful. I'm reading that again. Verse 21, "far above the rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but the age to come, one to come." Verse 22, "and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." So we are going to focus primarily on verses 15 and 16. But before that, I want to look at this. This is a text, actually, a couple staff, we meet once a week as a staff. And a couple of times ago, we looked at this chunk of text. And one thing I said to them is, notice how Paul prays. So this is separate from where we're going to go in the sermon, but I want to take time to say this. Often when we pray for others, we tend to just focus on health. We tend to just focus on immediate things, but we don't pray the way kind of Paul prays. Focus on how he prays. He says, "I remember you in all my prayers," and he goes on and lists some of the things he prays. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom. Does somebody in this room need wisdom today? We just sang about it. Right? We just sang about it. The God of wisdom. Someone need wisdom? That's a great prayer for someone in Christ who needs wisdom. And he goes on and says, "and of revelation in the knowledge of him." Do some of you need a revelation in the knowledge of who God is? Yeah. Look what he prays. He goes further. Verse 18, "having the eyes of your hearts enlightened." Does your heart need to be enlightened? Listen, there's some folks in this room, your hearts are far from God, and you need God to awaken your heart, so that you can follow God more purely, so you can be who God's called you to be. Your heart has to be enlightened. You need that. He prays that for people. This is what he prays when he's thinking of Ephesians and Ephesus. He's praying that this would take place. And it goes on, "that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you." Do you have hope today? Maybe some people in this room, listen, you have no hope. Maybe you need hope. Well, Paul prays that they would have the hope that he has. And he goes on, "what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints?" We just talked about that last week. Seven spiritual blessings that they would know the richness of their inheritance that's coming, right? It's hard to focus on this world and all the bad things when you realize who you are and all the things God's given you. You can't get too focused and wrapped up on the bad, negative things because you know who you are and you know what God's given you. And he prays that they would know that. Verse 19, it goes, "and what is the measurable greatness of his power towards us who believe?" right? And then he goes on and describes literally God raising Jesus from the dead. He says this, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, God has given you through the Holy Spirit inside you. Do you understand that God is a God of power and he's filled you with his presence? Oftentimes, listen, as Christians, we don't believe we have any power and our prayer life affects it. It is affected by it. We don't have big prayers. We don't have big aspirations. We don't ask God to do big things because we're like, well, God doesn't listen to me. But God says you have the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. And you ought to pray with that kind of authority. But we tend to not do that. So he prayed that Ephesus, that they would grasp that. So we're going to move forward. But this whole sermon could have been wrapped up in how are you praying for others? Do you pray small prayers or do you pray big things that God would really wrap our minds in who he is? Because when we get there and we know who we are, we pray differently, we live differently. Listen, and kingdom moving stuff happens when God's people are filled this way. So I encourage you, I don't know about you, if you have a time of prayer, I encourage you to take these verses and start, when you think about how you're praying for people, is it anywhere in your way, in your prayer life, are some of these things being mentioned? If you know of your son or your kid who needs some wisdom, pray for wisdom from God. Pray for them that God would give them wisdom. Maybe you know someone who doesn't have hope. They haven't placed their hope in Jesus. And maybe you need to pray that God would help them place their hope in Jesus. These may be people that say they're Christians, but the way they live, they have no hope. Say, God, give them hope. Help them realize and believe these things. Maybe we need to just pray for God to do powerful things in our church, in our life, in our street, in our business, in our testimonies. Ask God to fill us with his power because he's a God of power and he's given us power. So I know I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but when you pray this week, when you focus, I ask you to open up Ephesians, read this text that we just went over, and start praying for people differently. I'm not saying you can't pray for healing, but I'm saying pray for these things too. When you're praying for people that you love, that you know what's going on in their life, pray appropriately the things they really need, that they really need God to do in their life. So we see Paul pray that way. But he begins this whole text in two verses. He says, for this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. One, two, your love towards the saints. Because of your love for the saints, the love, how you love people. And he says, and your faith in the Lord Jesus, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayer. I'm going to read the book that I had up here. I meant to bring it again, but it's a book up here that we're basing a lot of our series off of. He has a confessional from a guy named Patrick Stump. You may have heard of him. He's the lead singer at Fall Out Boy. It's a testimony that he gives about some things that have gone on in his life. So this isn't in your notes. I got 5 pages. You got 2. So here we go. Says, in early 2012, Patrick Stump, the former lead singer of Fall Out Boy, a multi-platinum selling pop band, posted in his blog that he was thinking of leaving the music industry. The title of the post was, We Liked You Better Fat, Confessions of a Pariah. And then it goes on, Stump shared that the commercial failure of his solo album, as well as the negative criticism of Fall Out Boy's latest album, left him feeling as if he had received some big cosmic sign that he says, that says he should disappear. In the post, he told how once adoring fans now mocked him on the road, yelling out that they liked him better when he was fat, sending threatening letters to his home and telling them he was nothing without his band. And then it goes on. He went on to say, the reality is that for a certain number of people, all I've ever done, all I will ever do, and all I ever had the capacity to do worth a darn was a record I began recording when I was 18 years old. The truth is, whatever and whomever I am, I will never be the kid from Take This to Your Grave Again. And I'm deeply sorry that I can't be. I truly am. No irony, no sarcasm. I hate waking up every morning knowing I'm disappointing so many people. I hate feeling that the awkward adult husk of discard of one cute child actor. So what I want to say to us is I think at times many of us don't feel appreciated. Many of us do not feel appreciated. We don't feel loved. And it's something that I think it ends up being a crushing thing. We carry it with us. We carry it with it. Every relationship, when we go home, when we're at work. And that's what I want to talk about, focus on specifically today. So what I want to say to you is, do you believe what the world says about you, or do you believe what God says about us? We have to choose, because basically the direction of your life is going to be changed based on that. And so the truth about the world we live in, the world we live in is rude. Do you agree with that? We live in a rude world, a self-centered world, oftentimes a hostile world, an unappreciative world. Oftentimes we feel unappreciated, so we don't appreciate anyone else, and it's just a continuation of things. And so that's often how we feel. And so I want to ask you this. I'm going to ask you a few questions. This is one of those times you stop. Just listen to these questions. If one of these questions hits home, I want you to really listen today, because I really do believe we can be appreciative people, but we have to change how we become appreciative. And so I'm going to read a couple questions to you in community groups. This is literally going to be one of the questions tonight for us to talk about in community groups. But here we go. Are you frustrated when no one says thank you for a job well done? Are you frustrated constantly because people aren't saying thank you for a good job? The amount of effort you're putting in, is that something you're struggling with? Are you feeling tired of feeling overworked, crazy busy, and underappreciated? Do you feel overworked, crazy busy, and constantly unappreciated? Is getting more criticism than encouragement grinding you? Like, it's weighing on you that you have a lot of criticism, very little encouragement. Do you ever wonder if all the time, energy, and the money you put into church, work, or life are worth it? Do you at times look at your life, look at the day you're doing, the week that you're feeling, do you feel like, is it worth it? What's the point? Do you ever feel that? How many, I think of even moms who have to watch babies, you too. I think of my wife. Is it even worth it? Do you feel that? And then do you find yourself wondering if anyone really cares? You at times feel like nobody really cares. So I don't know if that reads out to you. I don't know if one of those is you. I don't know if every one of those might be you. I would say we're probably a stressed out people, constantly busy. I would say this probably applies to every one of us in this room. And so with that said, I want to look at specifically verse 15 one more time. It says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So one of the things you see is very specifically he points out faith in the Lord Jesus and the love for all the saints. Now, I want to point you again. Remember, this is Paul. A man that has lived his entire life following Jesus. He's constantly pouring his life out for all these churches. And he begins always saying, thank you. I'm thanking God without ceasing for the things that you do. And he says specifics, the faith that you've shown and the way you serve. That means specifically they have served Paul. They have served the ministry of the gospel. And he says, and despite being in prison, I mean, Paul in Ephesus was imprisoned often. And he writes many of his letters in Ephesus. It's a hub of Christian activity. And at first, he was in prison all the time. And he's saying, thank you specifically for these things. And he says that. And that's something for us to reflect on today. But I want to go a little further too. Go to Ephesians 2:10. Turn to Ephesians 2:10 with me. Galatians, Ephesians. I was looking at Galatians. That'd be awkward. That wouldn't be the right verse. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. All right, look at this verse. Let's read it one more time. For we are his workmanship. Workmanship is an important word. We are something that God has crafted. We are a work of art. Listen, you are a work of art. God designed you, created you, just as if you look at an artist and you're like, oh man, I love this painting or a poem or some sort of song. You are a work, is what Paul says. God has crafted you, and he goes further. It says, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God created all of us for good works. And he goes on further and said, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So even all that we do, the holiness, the obedience, the fruitfulness we enjoy are empowered, enabled by the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. But here's what we're going to say is God created you and crafted you, even made the things for you to do. God designed that whole thing. Now, what I want to say to you is you are created and crafted and awesome. You're a workmanship. God has made and designed each one of you. As we get a little further through the sermon series, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about roles that God has called people to way before predestined time. God called people to roles because God crafted and planned those things. God planned the good works in our life. You may say, I love serving. I love hospitality. I love evangelism. I love teaching. And God said, yeah, you love it because I designed you that way. I made you that way. You find fulfillment. You find joy. When you do those things, I crafted you. I made you. And when you do those things, listen, you find fulfillment. You find joy. You find your purpose. And he says, I crafted you. I made you. I built you for this. And what happens oftentimes is rather than enjoying what God has called us to do, he's designed it. He's planned it. We get upset because no one's noticing. No one notices. No one. And this is an important thing. I remember being a kid, and one of the first songs, I just fell in love with the line. It's a song, I don't remember who sang it, and I just remember it said, audience of one. And the song was an audience of one. And I remember learning this lesson as a young man. I'm not living my life out to please other people. I'm living my life out for the audience of one, God. He created me. He designed me. Even the good things I'm doing that he created me to do, he says, I made you for that. I planned for that. So when we follow in obedience, when we do what God's called us to do, listen, God says, I made you this way. Of course you should love this. Of course I made you for this. And when you do it, even if you feel no one's appreciating you, listen, you can know God appreciates you. He designed you. He intricately made you. You are a work of art that God designed. And he says, I appreciate you. See, Paul understands that. Paul, exactly at the time in which he came, God made him to be what he is. And so listen, he's appreciated. He understands that God appreciates him. He's not living for other people. So you know what he does? He's freed up to encourage other people who probably don't feel appreciated. And you see it throughout his letters. He begins every letter, even if he has some criticism coming their way, even if he's writing to say, hey, this is not good. You got to deal with this. He starts off with, I thank you. I pray for you. I appreciate you. I love you. And he lists throughout his letters and by name individuals, specifically, all the time. Paul was an appreciative person. He understood God designed him, created him, and he was fulfilled in who he is. And he knew he found pleasure in God. Listen, I gotta lie to you. Paul battled with God. You know, part of his, you know, shipwreckness was because he wanted to disobey God. God said, I want you to go here. And he's like, no. And he wants to go minister to the Jews. And God says, you're going to the Gentiles. And he gets shipwrecked and he's at day at sea. And that was on him. He lists that, but that's because he disobeyed God. So he wrestled with God, but listen, he knew God created him and designed him, and he wrestled with that. Like, I want to do this. And God said, no, I made you for this because you're a workmanship, and I have planned out for you the good works I have for you to do. He understood that, and you need to understand that. You need to understand you are a work that God created. All the good that you're doing, it's because God crafted you to do it. Find enjoyment in that. Embrace who God has called you to be. Understand that you're living for him. You're living to please him, not your husband. You're living to please him, not your kids, not people in this church. You're living to please God every day. And if you find your appreciation, you know God appreciates, he designed you for this, you'll stop focusing on everybody else that likely won't appreciate. But as God's people, we do need to be, like Paul, appreciative people. And this church and your family would be an amazing better place if you started taking serious this sermon and appreciating other people. So with that said, the first thing I want to just truth for us to grapple with is God is as equally glorified when we praise him for his unmerited grace as when we're thankful for those through whom he chose to deliver it. We need to be people that are grateful for who God has put in our life. Let me do this. We're going to look at Ephesians, Colossians. This won't be back here. This is a change that I made. Sorry. I say that all the time. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Let me show you two great texts that describe how God's people should actually interact with each other. It's not how we do, but it's something that Paul writes multiple times. This is how we should interact. Look at what he says. Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 21 says this, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And he goes on, verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's the type of imagery that Paul has. When Christians come together, we ought to be praising God, singing God, thankful to God. We ought to be submitting to one another, serving one another, loving one another. That's the attitude that Paul says. Now look, he says almost the same exact thing in Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 3, 16 through 17. He says almost the same thing, but he adds teaching and admonishing. So chapter 3, verse 16, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing hymns and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving, thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, here's why I point us to those passages. This is a description, and he says it in other places too, but those are two of the leading ones that I can find, where he says this is how we should interact with one another. Praising God, singing. Do praises flow from you? Do just praises and thankfulness, does it flow from you? When people interact with you, are you bogged down and because you feel unappreciated? Or do you flow with thanksgiving? Do you flow with praise? Do you flow with just the joy of the Lord in your hearts? That's how Paul envisions how Christians should interact with one another. And so with those said, let's go a little further, because as we kind of began the sermon, I think we all struggle with being unappreciated. So we need to focus on a couple other points, but I'm not going to take the time to do this, but you can read all these passages, Romans 1:8, 1 Corinthians 1:4. I'll probably just start listing them, a couple of them, but you can read the most of them. But Romans 1:8 says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you." 1 Corinthians 1:4, "I thank my God always concerning you." Philippians 1:3-5, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." And you can literally read, that's how Paul was. So he says we should be thankful. We should be filled with joy. We should be filled with praise. And listen, he was that way. That's how he was with every one of these. And even some of these is 1 Corinthians, one where he came and dropped the hammer. But he began with thanksgiving. He thanked with joy. He came with praise. That's who Paul was. And so as we go further, what I want to do from here on out, as we look at six different points, we can be this way. We can be a person of praise, a person of singing, a person of thankfulness, but we have to interact with each other utterly different. So that's what we're going to discuss from here point out. How do we become a person who may be pouring their life out for God, but at the same time thankful and gracious and encouraging to all around? How do we be both of those? One who serves well, but at the same time knows they're appreciated and thus appreciates other people. How do we do that? How do we practically do that? Well, number one, really, it's the second one, but the second one is this. The second truth we need to apply is appreciated people exchange grumbling for praying. I'm going to say it again. Appreciated people exchange grumbling for praying. Do you have some grumbles going on? Is there a lot of grumbling happening in your heart because of maybe people don't make you feel, you know, they're saying things or doing things, or what's going on? Are you grumbling? Do you find yourself right now spending more time grumbling than praying? More time hopeful, less of hope, more grumbling. How do we become a person that's appreciative, and how do we encourage other people? We can't be grumblers. In fact, folks, grumbling is a sin. It's something that God has called us not to do, and I would say this, grumbling leads to dissension, disunity, and bitterness. And guess what? The Bible says bitterness spreads. It spreads. It's one of the first things, church discipline-wise, he says, hey, if bitterness has happened, you better do something about it, because it will spread and it will contaminate other people. Are you a bitter person? Are you unhappy at all times? When you're interacting with other people, is there more grumbling than there is happiness or joy? Is there praise? Is there thanksgiving? Is there songs? Are you thankful, or are you constantly grumbling? Today, many of us, listen, if you know you're a grumbler, today you need to confess, God, I'm sorry for grumbling. And listen, folks, when you have someone come up to you and they're always grumbling, there comes a time that a grumbling person is actually disunified. They're just full of discontent. They're full of disunity. They're full of bitterness. And you shouldn't continue to hear it. When someone is always grumbling about everything in their life, you need to say, I don't want to be a part of that. I want my life to have joy. I want to be thankful. I want to be praising God. I want to be talking about the goodness in life, not just focusing on how unhappy I am. So when you grumble, you need to start, listen, pray. When you're grumbling and your heart has gotten there and you've got bitterness and you're always upset, you need to start praying and asking God, take away this grumbling heart. You need to. That's on you, but you need to do it. And you'll be more appreciative. You'll see God differently. You'll talk and interact with people differently. You won't be grumbling the more you pray. And you ask God, I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to be this way. I don't want every interaction with people to always be negative comments or negative things, right? It's really easy to look at any situation and find the negative. But you can be the person that's like, I'm going to be above that. I want to be thankful because there's a lot of good too. So if you are a kind of a person that goes to grumbling, You need to spend more time praying, asking God, why is this here? Take this away from me. Help me see the good. Help me that when people interact with me, they see praise. They see thankfulness. They see a person that loves Jesus, is filled with the Holy Spirit. And yeah, there may be negative things. There may be bad things going on. But grumbling is not going to change anything anyways. I don't want to be that person. For others that interact with me, I want them to see someone who's filled with Jesus. That doesn't mean at all times. There's moments where, listen, we are going to be grumbling people. Things are happening in our life. But you can go to brothers and pray with other people to say, hey, so that that doesn't consume your life. So I encourage you. I don't know everyone's situation, but have we found ourselves grumbling more and more lately? I encourage you, grumble less, spend more time praying, and God will fill you differently. Number two, I don't have time for this. It is in your notes. Jesus, our perfect image and example. Now, clearly, Jesus, he did not grumble, but at the same time, he spent a lot of time praying. I mean, leading into his death in the Garden of Gethsemane, as well as Jesus constantly would leave, he would be drained. I mean, there's texts where he's literally healing all these people, and out of nowhere, he just walks away, and they're like, well, where did Jesus go? He couldn't take anymore. He was exhausted. You know what he did? He went and spent time being refilled with the Holy Spirit, refilled with God. He went and prayed to God. And that's how, listen, that's how he came out and was able to pour his life out again. So if you're a person that, man, you're poured out, you need to be filled. But how do you get filled? It's not by grumbling. It's not by getting a bunch of other grumblers together and let's just all grumble together. It's praying, asking God to fill you so you're not so grumbly. Because there are great things in our life. There's good things. Yeah, there's bad. That's part of life. But God can fill you so, listen, you can be poured out again. But when we're poured out and we've been poured out and we're just grumbling, that's not good for anybody. That's not good for a body. It's not good for church. That's not good for your family. That's not good for your friends. So I encourage you, if you're a grumbling person, man, ask God to fill you again. Ask him to fill you. Ask you, and listen, hold each other accountable. If the last five interactions you've had with a person has been nothing but grumbling, say, hey, stop grumbling. Stop being bitter. I want to be happy in life. Like, you need to go pray. Let's go pray right now about your heart, because these things may not change, but your heart can if you go to God and pray. So there's a lot of there, I said, but let's go to the third truth to apply. Appreciated people exchange competing for celebrating. They exchange competing for celebrating. When we feel unappreciative, we are prone to engage in unhealthy competitiveness. It says, rather the focus becomes showing our superiority over others seeking to outperform others to achieve power, status, praise, and reward. Sometimes people even do ungodly things with their underlying motivation of ungodly competition that oftentimes leads to ungodly behavior. When I was reading this, I was thinking of a couple sins: envy, conceit, jealousy. And really, honestly, sometimes we can get competitive and we stop looking at the craftsmanship of somebody else. Sometimes we think my gift is better than this person's gift, so we look down on them. And we know Paul talks about the body and he says, who are you if the foot was to say to the mouth, like, I'm more important than you. Like, you need your foot. I don't know about you. You've had knee surgery. When I lost this knee and I had all that surgery, I realized real quick how important that knee was. Real quick. And I gained some weight, but I realized real quick how important that knee was. And so what we know is, if we're constantly in competition, if we look at other people and we're constantly dealing in our own heart with envy or conceit, or we're just kind of seeing ourselves as better than others, that there's pride in there, oftentimes what happens is we think we're better than others. And it becomes an unhealthy thing. And listen, it doesn't allow us to be an encouraging person. It doesn't allow us to be a person who's motivating others. Listen, we don't ever celebrate other people's successes. Like, right, God may be doing something awesome in someone's family, but when you hear about that, do you get mad? Because you're like, God's not doing anything in my life and I'm unhappy. Or do you celebrate? Or do you say, awesome, I'm glad this happened in your life. I'm glad that this awesome blessing is happening. And you know, does that make sense? Sometimes we can get competitive and sometimes we never celebrate with God doing things in people's life or people getting happier, things happening, good things happening. And we're like Debbie Downer. Sorry, Debbie, I didn't mean you. Just using that word. Don't email me on that. I wasn't meaning you. I'll clear that up right now. But listen, very, very clearly, recover. How do you recover? All right. But very clearly, we can get into that mode. And so I encourage you, if you see other people that God has crafted, they have gifts, they have great things about them, and it's something that we should celebrate when other people succeed. But oftentimes, listen, we get into a place of competitiveness, we get into a place that there's envy, there's other things going on in our hearts, and we're not an encouraging person. And God has called us to encourage. And when good things are happening, even if our life is hard, it doesn't mean because my life's hard, I can't encourage. I can't say I'm proud, I'm so happy, I'm excited for you. That's just not healthy. And we can get into that place that, man, we're just constantly negative and we're just not happy. We're not happy for God doing things in our friends' lives, and we need to. So a simple question, do you celebrate other successes? Because we should celebrate others growing and others succeeding, and we shouldn't be so competitive. And I just hate it when people look at others and think their gift is more superior. They're not. God has crafted us with different gifts, and the flourishing of this church, the flourishing of your friendships with other people is when you're aligning yourself with other gifts. Because guess what? Four gifts are better than one. We don't need four people doing the same gift. We need all the gifts to be the church God's called us to be. And I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. God has just crafted me differently, and he crafted you. We're both work of arts, and God's given us, already planned for us to do things, and he gets all the credit and all the glory for us just following him. That's what God's called us to do. Should I be excited you do good things? Yeah, good, because that's what God made you to do. He designed you for that. So I encourage you, if there's competitiveness going on in your spirit, you're likely going to be a grumbling person. Or you're going to be a person who's just not appreciative. Number four, the fourth truth to apply, appreciated people exchange bitterness for thankfulness. Appreciated people exchange bitterness for thankfulness. Some bitter people stop serving altogether. Sometime when we're bitter, we don't serve at all. We kind of say, you know, simply, it's, if no one appreciates me, why even do this? And number two, others keep serving, but they do it with a grumbling spirit. So are you bitter against God or someone else because of the gifts, the opportunities, the blessings, the faithfulness that you covet for yourself? How has bitterness soured your soul and negatively affected your relationship with Jesus and others? And so, again, this kind of goes back to the grumbling, but listen, the root of a grumbler is usually bitterness. It's a bitterness that's set in our soul. Listen, I've met people that have been bitter for years. I've said this, I think, before, but for those who are new here, I remember counseling specifically a couple in East Texas. I was the youth pastor there, but they came in and I was counseling them. And I remember feeling the weight of bitterness like I had never felt. It was like the worst thing I experienced. I sat down and these people were married but hated each other. They hated each other. There was no forgiveness. Listen, they were to the point, and here's what happens with bitterness. It's a funky thing. There may be a couple legitimate things that happened, but then what happens when you're already bitter, something so minute and no big deal becomes this major deal because, listen, you got pent up bitterness for years. And that's what this couple was. I remember them coming in, hating each other, yelling at each other, fighting over, like, he dropped the hammer. And I'm like, what? And the big fight, oh, he dropped that hammer. I'm like, what are you upset? What's really going on? And then as we talked, of course, there were years of unforgiven things. And the hammer was no big deal. But for them, it was the biggest deal in the world. And I remember sitting there just baffled. But here's the thing. My spiritual soul in me, I felt in my soul a sickness. I remember being around it. It was almost like demonic activity, being around such bitterness. It just, you could feel it. You could sense it, almost like tasting it. It was, I could sense something so wrong. And I remember sitting with him, and I remember saying, like, I don't know the exact words to say, but I know if you want to stay bitter, your life's about to be over. Because you don't have to be bitter. You can have joy. But a lot of times, listen, people don't want to give up the bitterness. They want to hold on. That's how they've learned to function, is just in bitterness. But you don't have to be bitter. You can forgive people. You can do exactly what Jesus said and not have this expectation. Say, okay, you know what? People make mistakes. I'm just going to forgive and move on. Because listen, the bitterness hurts you more than it does anybody else. It hurts your relationship. It hurts your heart. It keeps you from praying. It keeps you from being satisfied and happy with things in life. It hurts you. But it's something we have to literally give it away. And I'm not saying you may need counseling, you may need therapy, you may need friends to help you. But if you are bitterness constantly, you've got to say, I don't want this for my life anymore. I don't want to be a bitter, grumbling person. I want to drop this. It could be, listen, I've heard stories of a mom died and they didn't go to church for years because they were bitter and angry and God worked through that and now they're happy. But there's a lot of years that the person stayed bitter because at that time, you know, they weren't willing to give it up yet. And I know one of you know I'm talking a little bit about your story, but there's others in the same situation. There's something that's happened in your life and you become so bitter and you're not going to change. Listen, your bitterness isn't going to change until you make the decision, I'm done being bitter. I don't want this for my life. I don't want this for my family. I don't want this for my friendship. I just don't want to be bitter anymore. Lord, change me. Would you say that? Would you do that? If you are not a thankful person, you are a bitter person, it is in your control with the Holy Spirit, with God, to say, I don't want this anymore. Take it from me. So if there's bitterness and there's grumbling, you have to make the decision, I don't want to do that anymore. Because you're not going to serve. You're going to serve with wrong motives. Bad hearts affect every element of your life. So I would encourage you, how do we become an appreciated people and know that we're appreciative? We've got to be a people that are thankful. I mean, that's how God tells us to interact with one another, but we have to drop the bitterness. So I encourage you, and I don't mean to say that there's not some things that you may not, you may have to wrestle with me. You may have to wrestle with a counselor through some of the bitterness that's going on in your heart, but you do have a choice to not have to live the rest of your life bitter. You don't have to be that way. And God, listen, I can give you story after story after story of God redeeming and changing people's hearts. And listen, this situation may have never changed, but that heart changed because God came in and got a hold of it. And listen, God's the one that fills with joy and peace and kindness and goodness. He fills us with the fruit of the Spirit. You don't have to stay bitter, but you have to make a conscious effort to be more thankful. With that said, fifth truth to apply, appreciated people exchange performing for serving. Jesus says this when the disciples are fighting over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Do y'all remember what Jesus says? You remember? Servants. He says servant, and he says, you know, basically he says, I'm the greatest of all servants. And then he says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, serve. Oftentimes, service for people can become performance, and we need to be people that we serve just to serve. And so what happens oftentimes is, you know, we kind of just start performing and we don't feel like anyone's appreciating me, so we just stop. And listen, are you doing it because it's what God's called you to do, or are you doing it because it's something that's it's a show? Because if you're serving, you're not serving for approval. You're not serving for other people. You're just serving because God's called you to serve. Does that make sense? So that's what I mean to say there, is we can perform and focus on performing because, you know, performance, you want people to notice. You want people to acknowledge what you're doing. But if you're serving to serve, you're just serving to serve. You're doing it to be faithful to God. I'm not doing it for you. I'm not doing it for your praise. I'm not doing it for your approval. I'm doing it because I want God to be pleased with the life I'm living. I'm so filled with worship in my heart. I want to give back to God for all that he's done for me. That's serving. I don't need your approval. I don't need somebody else's. I'm not doing it for that reason. I just want to be a person who serves because that's what God's called me to do. Are you a serving person? That will help you be an appreciative person. And six, the final thing I want to share today, is appreciated people exchange boasting for encouraging. Appreciated people exchange boasting for encouraging. Unappreciated people can resort to boasting in an effort to earn others' appreciation. We can become obsessed about making known what we've done and are doing, exaggerating the facts and even lying to impress others and feel appreciated. But the underlying hope is that when people hear about the great things we've done and the sacrifice that we've made, they'll get grateful and appreciate us. So what often happens, guys, is one unappreciated person is boasting to another unappreciated person, and the result is no appreciation, just jealousy. That's what often happens, and we can actually boast and using people for appreciation. Appreciation is something you can use other people to try to get appreciation, and it's one of those things in your heart. Again, who are you serving? Why are you serving? You're serving because of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember being a youth age, and I remember playing basketball, and my problem was exaggerating facts. So I may have actually scored 15 points, but you better believe it was 25 points, and I shot one, you know, half-court shot, and that never happened, but I said it. It may happen one game like 5 games ago, but it seemed to happen every game. So, right, I don't know about you, but that was when I was a kid. That's one of the things I did. I constantly would exaggerate. There's some truth to it, but it was because I wanted to be noticed. I wanted to be like, oh, man, Ben, you played great, right? What was that? It was an unhealthy thing. I was wanting appreciation, and I was finding it through lying. I was finding it through trying to get other people to be impressed by the things I did that I didn't actually do, right? So we do those things. We do some of those goofy things when we're trying to be appreciated and we're boastful versus encouraging. We should be people that are encouraging. And I say this in all truthful matters. I talk about a guy named Wes Holloman in my life a lot. He's a very encouraging person. And here's the thing. He doesn't need to boast. Everyone thinks the highest of this man. I remember seeing him at Sagemont. He was a youth pastor at the time. And he didn't have to ask parents to serve. He had a line of hundreds of parents that wanted to serve because everyone that was around Wes felt so golden. They felt so encouraged. They felt so loved by this man. He wasn't the greatest speaker. He wasn't the greatest in all these other areas. But you know what he mastered? Encouraging. And you could sit with him. To this day, if I go sit with the man, we'll start talking, and I have it in my head, okay, I'm going to ask you about you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to say something good to you. And somehow you start talking to me, or all of a sudden he's already talking about you and saying, and you're like, whoa, I was supposed to be telling you how great you are. That's just the gift that he had. So I encourage us, we need to be people that are encouragers, encouraging others around us, people that are different than you, and that's who God has called us to be. So as we kind of finish this time of teaching, I would say two practical things we need to do. Look at the one of those six. Notice the one that you need the most. There's five specific ones. One of them's kind of just a general, like we can worship God and appreciate God through doing these things. But do you have some bitterness? Do you have some areas of your heart that you're just unhappy or you're boastful because you just don't feel appreciated? Do you feel appreciated? Because if you're finding your appreciation from your spouse or from your kids or from your boss or your coworker, listen, you're never going to feel appreciated. You need to have the mentality of I'm actually living my life for an audience of one, for God. I'm serving not to be noticed. I'm serving to serve. I'm living my life. I'm encouraging not. Listen, I'm not encouraging just the two people that encourage me. I need to just live out encouraging. Encourage others. Are we doing that? And so I encourage you. I think if we applied these lessons to our life, and I really believe this. I look at Paul's life. I look at Jesus' life. Man, sometimes when we go to pray and we ask God to fill us, we have more to serve. We have more of a cup. But right now, some of us are empty, but we're not encouraging anyone. We're not thanking anyone. And sometimes you create an environment of that kind of stuff, right? If this church got busy encouraging one another, if we got busy looking for opportunities to be thankful, you know what would happen? The culture of this church would become more thankful, less grumbling, more excitement and joy and thankful for what God's doing. That would be the culture of this place, but it takes people actually being those people. Does that make sense? So if there's grumbling, if there's bitterness, it's why I say to you, if someone comes and every time you hear them, they're nothing but bitterness and grumbling, tell them, stop. That's sin. That's not okay. It's not good. It's not what church is supposed to be about. Church is about worshiping God, being filled by the Holy Spirit every Sunday. That's what it's about. So we can go out and listen, fulfill the mission, which isn't in this church. It's outside of here. This is to get filled so we can go be faithful outside of here. So I encourage you, let's leave the bitterness, let's leave the grumbling, let's leave that stuff. Be filled by God, be appreciated. Realize that God appreciates you. Know that you have a gift that God's given and this church needs it and we'd love it. But serve, get to serve. Not to be performance or this guy didn't acknowledge me today. Serve because of God and what he's called you to do. He crafted you. He made you to be exactly who you are, not someone else. Be you. Amen? Let's have the band come up. So in this time, I don't know, this is an awesome time for response. Maybe there's one of the five that really sticks out to you. Would you not leave this place until you come to God and say, God, would you help me in this area in my heart? If you have bitterness, if you've got some grumbling tendencies, say, God, make me different today. Let me be a thankful person. Maybe start looking at your life and look at the blessings that God's given you and say, just say today, say, thank you, God. Thank you for this in my life. Thank you for these things in my life. Thank you for filling me with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for forgiveness. Let me forgive others so that I don't have to be bitter anymore. Amen? So if you don't know Jesus, listen, every bit of this sermon has to do with you being in Christ, you knowing Jesus. If you're at a place that maybe you don't have any joy to give because you just don't have joy and you don't even know if you have Jesus, you don't even know if he's your Savior, I would love to talk with you today and just pray with you about Jesus and talk about the gospel if that's someone in here that needs that. With that said, let me pray and we'll go into a time of response. Respond however God might lead you. Father, thank you for your son. Thank you for Paul. Thank you for the life that they live. Thank you that these men and God, you yourself, they poured out life after life after life, poured out their life to serve you, God, and they filled so many people's lives. God, I pray for all of us in this room that we would have a joy in our heart to be people that just serve, that pour their lives out for the sake of you, God, being faithful to you, finding joy in being faithful, God. Let us not be a bitter people. Let us be a thankful people because of what you're doing and have done in our life, Lord. We thank you today, and I ask you to be with us as we respond. Show us the areas of our hearts you want to change today. Amen.